Welcome to On Air, a podcast by Fembla. We host bi-weekly discussions with inspiring founders and professionals from all around the world to talk about their journey, aspirations, and the power of connection. My name is Clara, and I'm the co-founder of Fembla, a career development platform for women. Our today's guest is Sandra Kisić. Sandra is a former blogger, writer, my university classmate, and recently positioned as content manager at Welcome to the Jungle. Sandra was born in Sarajevo, followed by a few years in Split and Tunisia before ending up in Prague. She is a passionate scuba diver, can say thank you in 25 languages, and dreams of living in a Wes Anderson film. With Sandra, we talked about her start as a blogger, how the blogging scene has changed over the past decade, and the beautiful advantages of being an employee that we often take for granted. Stay tuned! Hi everyone, it's my pleasure to welcome our today's guest, Sandra Kisić. Sandra is a former blogger, writer, my university classmate, and recently also a content manager for Welcome to the Jungle. Hi Sandra!
Hey Clara, thank you for inviting me.
Sandra, I would like to ask you an opening question, and that is, when you were a kid, what did you want to do when you grow up?
Wow, all right. So when I was around 6 years old, I decided that I'm going to become a vet when I grow old. And I really wanted to heal all the animals in the world. But then I discovered that I really don't fancy blood and that being a veterinarian wouldn't probably be the right job for me. So I remember that I was spending so many summers at my cousin's house in Sarajevo. And she's about 10 years, maybe 11 years older than me. And she was studying to become a lawyer. And she had so many novels, books about Perry Mason, which is he's a character from early Stanley Gardner's books. I don't know if you know this author. He's one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And he wrote about 80 novels about this criminal defense lawyer during, I don't know, 30s, 40s, 50s in the US. And I realized that Perry Mason is a guy or a person that I wanted to become eventually. I was 12, 13, and maybe even 15. And I remember how I loved him solving all the crimes and basically saving so many people's lives. So yeah, but I was a bit unfortunate because during my high school studies, I got a history teacher that wasn't the right fit for me. So we didn't really understand each other. And so somehow I grew up hating history. And because, you know, during the studies of the law university, you really need to be immersed into history or in history. And yeah, I discovered that this is not going to be the right fit for me, unfortunately. My cousin is a lawyer. My dad is a lawyer, even though he's not practicing law at the moment because he cannot. He studied law in Bosnia and obviously he cannot practice it here in Czechia. But my boyfriend is a lawyer, so at least I can discuss the cases of Perry Mason at home.
Perfect, sounds great. Sandra, let's talk about your actual journey and your actual career. You're originally from Sarajevo. You grew up in the Czech Republic, traveled all around the world. You speak 7 languages. And most importantly, you became a blogger long before it was even a thing. I remember that from the university we studied together. I was like, what is Sandra doing? I have no idea like what this, you know, role is about. So can you tell us a little bit more about this journey of yours?
What a fancy introduction. I mean, to set things straight, I technically do speak 7 languages, but hey, Bosnian, Croatian, and Serbian are basically the same language. So, I mean, officially you can count it, but still I'm a normal person who speaks a few languages. But yeah, so I was born in Sarajevo, but then there was a war for about 4 years. So me and my parents, we moved to Tunisia during those times. And I was attending a French and Arabic kindergarten during those times. We lived there for about three and a half years. And then we moved to Prague because my cousin and my aunt were already here. And so I enrolled in the Czech kindergarten and then obviously Czech primary school and then high school, where I was for 8 years. And then I moved on to the university where we studied together arts management. And yeah, that was fun. But during my high school studies, I remember being on this internet forum, Nix. I don't know if you know it, but it's basically like Czech Reddit. And so I was there in this forum, and you could post your pictures, your selfies, or whatever you were wearing, and people would be, you know, commenting on your looks and basically what you're wearing, what your style is. And everybody kept messaging me like, wow, you have amazing style. You should have a blog. You should start a blog. And back then it was, I don't know, I think 2010. Yeah. Back then, no one really had a blog. So I had to copy this concept a bit from the Danish and Swedish bloggers that were already blogging a lot. And yeah, I started a blog, but obviously no one was really visiting my blog. So I decided to quit it after like 6 months of not really being successful. And yeah, then my friend told me, come on, you were great, you should start again. And I said, yeah, whatever, let's do this. And suddenly companies started approaching me. The first company that approached me was H&M, because again, they took this concept from Sweden, where their HQ is. And yeah, they told me, hey, would you like to come to our showroom and choose some clothes for free? I was like, what? Someone is going to give me some clothes for free? That's amazing. But yeah, those were different times.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing. This was, you know, something that was really unheard of for me at those times. And to set things straight, I might still use the term blogging when it comes to what you do today. And that is that you're still active on social media like Instagram. And I don't know, like, how else than influencers can we call those individuals who, you know, share a lot about their style or their travels or their opinions on social media. So let's just for simplicity's sake call it blogging. Because I might ask some more questions about that and how the scene changed over the years that you were part of it. So how did this journey change for you? Are you still active on your blog, or how did that end up?
Yeah, so the blog itself is not very active at the moment. I mean, it is active, you can still visit it, but there's nothing new. And I mean, yeah, you're saying blogging maybe is not the right term, or influencering or whatever. I feel like people don't really like these terms nowadays, because they sometimes do have a bit of a negative connotation. So the bloggers or influencers around me usually like to call themselves content creators.
Okay.
But I don't really mind the term. I mean, like, it's whatever. But yeah, it has definitely changed a lot. I mean, back in the day, those 10 years ago, there was no Instagram, no Snapchat, no TikTok, you know? And now I feel like the minds of the people are way more scattered. And the majority of people is not able to focus on reading a long article that, you know, takes you, I don't know, 5 minutes to read. But I'm really very happy that there are still some bloggers out there and that they haven't given up.
Awesome. So this was the start of your blogging journey. What came next? How did it reveal itself in front of you in the later years?
I mean, during my blogging times, obviously, I was working as well a bit. You know, I had some side jobs and hustles, or however you call it. For example, I worked as a tour guide for a travel agency in Croatia for 6 years. I mean, 6 summers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a very exciting adventure. And then so many side jobs, like, I don't know, I recorded an English audiobook for children. And that was actually my best paying job ever. And I worked as a market researcher for about 4 years. And I know this sounds fancy, market researcher, but in reality, I was simply that girl who stops you in a shopping mall to ask you about your experience here or there. And but yeah, I was able to perform this market research in O2 Arena, the biggest concert hall here in Prague. And thanks to that, I saw Queen and Coldplay live. And I mean, it was not only for free, but I was being paid for it. And then suddenly, an acquaintance of mine offered me a job taking care of social media for a brand. And I think I was around 18 years old, and it was super low pay, but no one was really paying anyone to take care of social media, Facebook. And I was like, yeah, sure, let's do this. And yeah, I ended up working for the brand for about 3 or 4 years. And thanks to that job, I was able to land so many other side jobs, and then, you know, creating a portfolio of about 25 clients that I've worked for in the past years. So yeah, and then I don't know, about 4 years ago, I received an offer from Forbes to write for them. And it was a bit surprise for me. I mean, you know, my blog wasn't really in the style of Forbes, in the style of, you know, lifestyle or money, economics or whatever. It was more about fashion and traveling. But yeah, of course you say yes to Forbes. And yeah, then suddenly this year in January, I got an offer to have an interview with Welcome to the Jungle. And yeah, that's where I'm now.
Wow. Okay. So many diverse and random and exciting opportunities for you throughout the years. You're now fully employed in Welcome to the Jungle. That's basically for the first time in your life, because in the past 10 years, you've been working as a freelancer. So how does that feel to be employed, and what do you exactly do in Welcome to the Jungle?
So it's really very new, just like you say, and it's super exciting, and I'm very excited to be in the company. But you know, I was used to working from a cafe, from home, or just from random sites and whenever, sometimes even during the night. But now suddenly I have the normal working hours from 9 until 6:30 p.m. So yeah, that's very new. And and Welcome to the Jungle, I'm the content manager for Czechia and Slovakia. So I take care of the content being produced here in these two respective countries. Welcome to the Jungle, we are a French company based in Paris. But we're also based in Barcelona, Prague, and Bratislava, and soon in London as well. And we are a multi-platform media. So we create not only articles that you can read on our website, but also videos, podcasts, and wonderful events. And now, of course, when, you know, now at these times, we're not able to really go out. So we are creating webinars for our followers and clients, partners. And in France, we have a wonderful print magazine.
That's amazing. Okay, so you're taking care of those two respective countries. You mentioned that the working hours and the new workspace is new for you. How did you handle the change?
That's a good question. I think it was, you know, what was really great for me is that the quarantine issued by the state, or the emergency state, made everyone work remotely or from home office. So I was actually only 2 weeks in the actual Prague office, and I was 2 weeks in the Parisian office. So yeah, this is my, 6th week on home office here in Prague. So basically, nothing's really changed from my freelancer life before. So I think the transition is quite natural for me.
Okay, maybe God bless quarantine for you in this case. No, yeah, just we'll joking. All right. Sandra, you mentioned that you write articles for Forbes. You're still active as a content creator on social media, and you now are fully employed and welcome to the jungle. How do you combine all those activities of yours?
I mean, there is a simple answer to it. I really don't. because now that I'm really, really fully employed and working 40 or sometimes even a bit more hours per week, I don't have the energy nor the time to write for Forbes anymore. But I hope that when I settle down a bit, it will get back to, you know, I don't want to say normal, but, you know, it's going to just settle down a bit and I'll have more energy and time for everything on the side.
Yeah, I understand that if you're, you know, starting a new journey and you are learning so many new things and working with team in a company and getting used to working hours and everything, you have to be true to yourself and say like, hey, like I don't have time to do everything, which is cool too. So maybe for those who are juggling, you know, many things at one time and they feel that they don't have enough time to do everything properly or enough energy to do everything properly, how did this decision process look for you to say like, I need to cut down on the things I'm doing, so this is how it's gonna look like? Do you have any tips on that?
So yeah, in the beginning, I mean, I thought that I'd be able to do it all and to juggle everything that I was doing before. But then I simply realized that I won't be able to do that and that I'm not capable of writing one article for Forbes per week or two per month. And yeah, having a 40-hour full-time job and obviously also doing some little vlogging influencer things on the side. And that's completely okay. You just have to accept it. And what actually really helped me were the articles on our website. Because Welcome to the Jungle focuses on work and career and is the best place actually to look for advice. So thanks to my job actually being also editing all the articles, I was able to read through so many tips and great advices that actually really helped me.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. We'll look there for inspiration too. I'll add it in the podcast descriptions. And I really feel you in the sense that we throughout the life keep just, you know, saying yes to opportunities and our portfolio of activities just grows and grows and we are still somehow able to juggle it. But then at another 40-hour window of working specifically for a company, and then like where is the time to do all the other things without going crazy. So I totally understand.
Exactly.
So how does your usual work day look like now? And how has it changed maybe from the past?
All right, so now it's a bit specific that we're all on home office, but I usually wake up, I have breakfast with my partner and we make ourselves tea. And then we head to our study room and we jump on emails, both of us basically the same thing. And I'm in daily contact with my French manager and we've organized a call or two every day. And I'm in touch with our journalists, translators, sub-editors. I organize interviews with the new potential journalists that we'd like to work with. And I edit articles. I regularly check the status of our upcoming content, videos. I help with the subtitles, I'm in touch with our product team, and then it's suddenly 7 p.m. Sometimes I even forget to take a break, but I'm learning.
I know that feeling of time flying too fast. All right. So you mentioned there are, like, from what I hear, there are, you know, two parts of your jobs. One is the communication with all the stakeholders, like journalists, managers, colleagues. And then there is some time you need to focus on editing or content creation. How do you organize those completely different things when you need to focus or, you know, communicate flexibly or fast?
All right, so when I need to focus, I turn off all the notifications or at least the sounds, and I give myself, you know, half an hour of brainstorming, thinking, and I try to come up with some new ideas. And obviously sometimes it's very difficult when you need to force yourself, and you know, sometimes the best ideas come in the shower or while on a walk. So sometimes it's a bit difficult for me to focus while seated behind the computer, but I'm getting there and I'm learning every day so many things. And yeah, everybody in our team is teaching me something, even though they maybe don't know it, but yeah, they are. So I'm really learning every day.
I really hear from you the excitement of having a team and a job which is totally new to you. Many people who are employed are wishing to become freelancers, wishing to start their own business and wishing to have the freedom. And you did the exact opposite. You went from being a freelancer and working on your own for 10 years to being an employee. What are the biggest benefits of being employed, or maybe what are the, you know, things we don't realize and that are really bad about being a freelancer?
So I mean, when you're a freelancer, you really really have to have friends who are freelancers as well. Because you know, you're managing your time, and sometimes you have basically too much time on your table and you don't know how to handle it and what to do with it. So, yeah, I mean, for example, now that I'm employed, I have a team or my colleagues that I'm able to enjoy a lunch with every day. And I know that they're here. And I mean, obviously not now that there is the quarantine, but back then, yeah, it's just someone asks, hey, are we going to the Vietnamese place? And it's like, yeah, great. I don't have to choose a place where I'm having lunch today. I know this is something really tiny and simple, and people don't really think about lunch as something exciting. But yeah, when I was freelancing, sometimes I was working from home, not really eating properly, or I was going out for super long lunches. And obviously, when you have friends who are employed as a freelancer, it's there is simply a different vibe. I don't really know how to explain it differently, but sometimes you can feel weird envy from the employees towards the freelancers, even though, like, I don't think there should be envy as such, because I think being employed is actually super amazing. I mean, when you're a freelancer and you're doing a campaign of some sort, you obviously get some feedback after finishing the campaign, but you don't really get any feedback throughout your journey. And now I'm really glad that I'm able to get feedback from my colleagues, from my manager, to know how I'm doing. It's really, you know, pushing me forward, and it's really helping me to be better, to do more, or to do something differently. I mean, yeah, when you're a freelancer, sometimes people just, you know, pay you and move on to another project, and you don't really know. I mean, maybe it was also an issue of mine, because I wasn't able to ask for feedback. Maybe also that.
So being surrounded by colleagues, spending time with them, learning from them, getting feedback, and maybe learning how to ask for it, that's one of the benefits you now can see like after a
working. You know what's a huge benefit? That you have a stable job actually. And you know, sometimes when I was a freelancer, I'd be working, I don't know, in June, I'd be working all day long, having so many campaigns, so many things to do, so much work. But then July and August were a bit empty. And of course, I could use the time to read, to watch movie series. But still, it's you feel a bit weird when all your friends are working. And now you're just, you know, hanging around, having all this time in your hands. Yeah, I really didn't feel okay with that. But yeah, there were not enough jobs, and obviously I wanted to rest a bit after having, for example, crazy spring. And what I also really found amazing is that we're an international company, and this is actually the first time that I'm really, you know, working every day with someone who's from a different country, so on a daily regular basis. And for me, it's really wonderful to learn more about the French culture, to learn more about Spanish culture. We have one colleague who's Indian. So every day I'm learning something new. And yeah, sometimes I find myself in the evening researching more about some topic that we discussed during the day. So yeah, that's a huge plus for me. And I get that many people take it for granted working for an international company and speaking a foreign language every day, but for me it's super exciting. And you know what, this is the first time that I really feel that I belong somewhere. So we got our company sweatshirts, and they're amazing. And you know, when you see your colleague wearing the sweatshirt, and sometimes you have it as well, you're like, hey, we're part of one team. And I don't know how, I mean, I don't know when I felt this way before. I don't know, maybe during some summer camp like 15 years ago or something, I don't know.
Well, yeah, it's true, like you are part of a tribe, and that is something very valuable in those times, that you have people around you to rely on. Is there something in your recent work that you felt really excited about or that you're proud of?
Well, so now we're coming with some original fresh produce here in Czechia and as well in Slovakia. So I'm really grateful that I'm able to work on this new transition for Welcome to the Jungle in Czechia and Slovakia. And I'm really excited to work with the journalists from the other side. I was usually the journalist who got the brief and needed to give the structure out and write the actual article. And now I'm on the other side, so I completely understand how all the editors back in the day felt when editing all the articles and giving me some feedback or some comments, that I was like, come on, like I wrote it in an okay way, and now I understand it. Like, it needs to be in the line with the editorial line, and that's something that the company knows the best, better than the journalists themselves. So it's my job to explain this to the journalists and to give them the best brief possible so that the collaboration could work as great as possible, as well as possible.
How did you even get to the job you have today? Did you just find it online and apply it, or was it through some connection?
That's a funny thing, because I've actually never applied to a job before. And I was contacted by the Czech CEO of Welcome to the Jungle in January. He sent me the link to the job position, to the job offer. And he asked me if I'd be maybe interested in having an interview. And I thought, yeah, sure, why not? And I didn't really think that that it would become a full-time job. I was thinking like, okay, maybe he wants to consult on something, because yeah, I was never offered a full-time job before. And it came a bit of a surprise to me on the first interview, and it was actually my first interview in my life. And then the second and the third, and, you know, there were a few rounds. And even with the friends, with friends. So, yeah.
Did someone help you prepare for those interviews, or did you just give it a try and learn along the way?
Of course, I prepared. I learned so many articles. I was searching for tips. I mean, obviously the interview tips, but also what questions to ask during an interview, and what to do when you get to the final round with the founder or the main manager, what to ask, what to talk about. And of course, I consulted my mom, who has been through so many interviews in her life. So I thought she was the right person to go to, because many of people who are around me are freelancers and are not typically and normally employed.
Yeah, you're building the network from scratch. I believe it's very different, the type of people you have around now. Are you still hanging out with your...
So. I mean, all the people are...
Sorry.
sorry. No, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like all the people are similar in the essence. Like the people that I'm working now, everybody is super creative and outgoing, great. It's like the people that are freelancing. So there is no real difference. I mean, I can't really tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not in the personality, but are you still hanging out with your friends who were bloggers and who were freelancers too, and that you used to hang out with in the past life of a freelancer?
Yes, we're still in touch. But yeah, they had to use to me not being able to go for a coffee or for a walk or for lunch basically during the day. Mm. I mean, yes, during the lunch break, we can have a quick lunch, but it's different than, you know, spending 4 or 5 hours with your friends. So yeah, now we either hang out in the evenings or during the weekends.
Sandra, what is next for you? Obviously, you're very fresh in your new job, but do you have any plans for 2020 or the next year that you'd like to share?
you're right. I'm really eager to, you know, to see how my Welcome to the Jungle journey goes. And there's actually one thing that I've been working on for some time, and it's a book. It's a travel guide for Prague, and it's focused on dark tourism. That's actually the topic of my master's thesis. And so dark tourism is focused on places connected to death. It's sometimes really heavy to talk about these topics because, you know, death is not something that people really like to talk about or maybe to read about. But I think it's really important to focus on our past and to learn from it and to learn about the horrible things that happened, to somehow do some precautions that they won't happen again in the future. And it was actually supposed to be published this year, but then with the publishing house, we decided that this might not be the best time. I mean, one, to write about death, to write about tourism when people are not really able to travel or to enjoy the city, and three, when there is a crisis, you know, the book industry is really suffering. So we'll wait for next year.
All right. But I'm really looking forward to reading more about it, because I guess there are not many things that I, as a Czech, know either. Is it going to be in Czech or English?
Well, for now, it's going to be in Czech, but we're talking about the translation to English.
Amazing. Sandra, where can our listeners find out more about you, about the work you do, or welcome to the jungle?
So I guess my LinkedIn is actually a good go-to place. I share the articles that we publish on Welcome to the Jungle there as well. My Instagram could be also a good source of, I don't know, I don't want to say inspiration. I don't really want to say that I'm inspiring people, but hey, you can follow my day-to-day journey there as well.
True, yeah. I think it's inspiring, but I also know you don't handle compliments well, so I shouldn't say that. Awesome. Sandra, are there any women from your surrounding that you would like to give a shout out to and that you really admire and would like our listeners to check them out too?
This is such a cute point, actually. So, I mean, one shout out definitely needs to go to my mom, who I mentioned is also working from her home office right now. And I mean, she has sacrificed so much for me throughout our lives. So yeah, I'm really grateful to have my mom, for my mom. And yeah, another shout out definitely goes to all the girls and the women and welcome to the jungle, as I'm super happy to be a part of the tribe. And yeah, all my female friends that are working really hard nowadays, be it a mom with two kids with a huge project. You know, one would say that two kids are enough for a project, right? Mm-hmm. And then my vet friend, yeah, I actually have a vet friend. I wanted to become a vet and now I at least have a friend who's a vet. So yeah, she's saving animals' lives during the global pandemic. And I think that's huge. And yeah, my dancer friend who's filming choreo, she's actually our classmate as well. So she's filming choreographics for the kids that she's not able to be with at the moment. And yeah, all the women around me.
That's wonderful.
All the badass women around me.
Thank you so much for sharing. Sandra, thank you for your time, for chatting with me. I'm really looking forward for everything that's coming up for you, and please stay in touch.
Thank you so much. This was really fun. Bye.
And that's a wrap. But the fun doesn't have to stop here. If you have any questions, guest suggestions, or feedback, shoot us an email to podcast@fempala.com. To learn more about our community, head over right now to Fempala's Instagram or Facebook and get involved. Thank you for listening and join us in 2 weeks for the next episode of On Air, a podcast by Fempala.